It's time now for Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Well, Minnesota Reads, all kinds of stuff. Minnesota Reads, Minnesota History Magazine. It's the quarterly publication of the Minnesota Historical Society, and it's a member benefit. And joining us this morning on the phone is Chad Montry. He is the author of the new Minnesota History cover story in that very northern city, Recovering a Forgotten Struggle for Racial Integration in Duluth. Chad is joining us this morning from his home in Massachusetts. Hey, Chad, good morning.
Good morning.
And I'm kind of curious how a scholar in Massachusetts came to find Duluth a focus of study and a focus of an interesting article for the magazine.
Well, I was primarily interested in trying to address this question of how racism and especially segregation isn't just a phenomenon of the South. And so Minnesota, as the title suggests too for the article on Duluth, is very northern, and a lot of people often ask me when I say, you know, what I'm studying, you know, why Minnesota? And usually what they mean is that they think, you know, sort of the assumption is that there is no history there. And so I think by talking about Minnesota, racial exclusion in Minnesota, it sort of addresses this bigger question of how race matters in American history. And so as part of the larger study of Minnesota, I was doing research on Duluth and came across this story about Mac Carter and Helen Carter integrating the London Road area when they bought a house or they bought property and built a house there.
Let's talk about that a little bit. We in Duluth, we focus a lot. I like to think, especially after the last few months, that the focus will be broadening. But we don't have a large black population here in our community, and I hope that we will be broadening the focus and telling more of these stories. Most Duluthians are, thanks to the tireless efforts of a large segment of our community, most Duluthians are aware of the Clayton Jackson McGee lynchings, of the memorial, and there's been a lot of diligent work to keep that story front and center so that we keep that, you know, ugly part of our history in mind moving forward. But I'm telling you, Mac and Helen Carter and London Road, that's a new story for me, and I'd like to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was trying to do with the article is actually sort of half of a chapter that I'm writing for the book, telling the full story of Duluth in the 20th century. And so I do talk about the lynching. This is the 100th anniversary of that happening, 2020, it happened in 1920, but trying to explain it not just as people have talked about sort of the details of what took place in June of 1920, but I try to talk about the many, many decades before that are, you know, a decade of or a history of racism to explain the lynching. The lynching just doesn't come out of nowhere. And then after the lynching, what happens, right? We don't often follow the story into the rest of the century and the ways in which that had an impact on the, you know, sort of race relations in Duluth, you know, in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. There's a reason why Duluth is so white, and it has a lot to do with the lynching, but also to, you know, the fact that there's job discrimination and housing discrimination in the many years that follow. The increase in the black population only really starts to happen in the 1960s with the expansion of the Air Force base. Otherwise, African Americans kind of just staying away from the city.
So the Carters were a family here in Duluth in the 60s that wanted to move into the London Road neighborhood, and they needed to get some allies in order to make that happen. Can you tell a little bit more about that story?
So the after the lynching, about 60 African Americans formed a chapter of the NAACP. There's other whites that get involved with that as well. But the chapter doesn't really, the racism is so entrenched in Duluth that they don't really manage to move it much. And by the end of the 1950s, though, Bill Maupin, who is a lab superintendent at UMD, takes over the chapter and begins to energize it, and focuses a lot on job and housing discrimination. And he then allies with the Carters, who are trying to buy this property and build a house there. And then also there's Thomas Smith, who's a minister at the Unitarian Church. And Smith actually is a straw purchaser for the property, because the owner of the property won't sell it to Matt since he's black. So Smith, who's white, buys it and then sells it to Matt, and then he has to get the permits to do the building, which is also a problem because the neighbors oppose. Once they figure out it's a black family moving in, then they try to do all kinds of things to stop them from building a house there.
And this is interesting because there are a lot of people who still live in this community who were alive in the 60s. And I think it really emphasizes that this isn't just something that happened long ago. You know, we like to think that nobody would take someone out and lynch them in this day and age, but that doesn't mean that, like you said, that this discrimination isn't still being practiced, and yet to try to make something to move forward. Your upcoming book is called, is this the one that you're talking about when you said that this is part of a chapter? It's called Whiteness in Plain View, A History of Racial Exclusion in Minnesota.
That's right. I'm trying to finish it this summer. We'll see. Trying to finish the manuscript, and then hopefully it'll get, you know, out in within a year or so. But I've been working on it for a while, and I did a lot of the research at the Minnesota Historical Society. So they have great collections, as well as Amy Brown, who's an archivist at UMD there, did a lot of things to help me also with, she digitized some materials that I needed to tell the Carter story. So that was really important. So I'm working on it, but to get another chapter done.
Amy Brown, I think we've had her as a guest on this show also, and I know that she is very helpful and she's excited about what she does, and it's always fun to talk to people who are excited about what they do. There was a Facebook event last night that was live. It was recorded. We'll get some links set up so that folks can go back and watch and you know, take advantage of the opportunity to enjoy the event at their leisure. Chad, thank you so very much for taking some time to talk with us about this article this morning. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Have a good day.
Chad Montree this morning is our guest. He is the author of a new Minnesota History magazine cover story in that very northern city, Recovering a Forgotten Struggle for Racial Integration in Duluth. And he's working on a book. That article will be part of the book. The book is called Whiteness in Plain View, A History of Racial Exclusion in Minnesota.